99, proceeded.
Redbird Sports Talk. Interviews and professional sports news all in one place.
Redbird playing a lot on the outside. Open three for Poindexter. Got it.
The quarterback just couldn't figure out the passing game.
You're listening to Red Zone, only on 103.3 WZND. Blasting off in 3, 2, 1.
Happy Thursday, Birds, and welcome to yet another edition of the Red Zone. Did you miss us? Because we obviously missed you last week. It feels like it's been forever since we've been on these mics after the two-week hiatus. But we're back with another edition of Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Julian Voss, Joey LeMaster, joined by a special guest today, Jaden Cohn, who will be the producer of Red Zone next year when we step away. Jaden, thank you so much for joining us today on this beautiful Thursday.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, of course. One last Red Zone left after this one with me, Joey, and Julian. So make sure next week to tune in to the graduation special. We'll be honoring myself, Julian, Joey, a couple of other seniors in the news and sports department here at 103.3 WZND, and we'll be officially handing over the torch to next year's Red Zone crew of Liam Lyons, Jaden Cohn, and Connor Allen. So super excited for that one, but obviously the last Red Zone episode of the semester, so super excited for that one. But in general, right now, I don't think vibes could be any higher. It is a beautiful day here in Normal. It's one of the best days of the year in sports. I don't know why it always feels like these Thursdays line up with like the start of events. Does it just feel that way for some reason?
They're just looking out for us. They know we needed some content on air, so I really respect them for
every single year. The 2 years that I've been doing this, I feel like the draft always starts on Thursday. But either way, we have full NFL draft coverage that we'll be bringing you for 45 minutes, but we wanted to start off a little differently with the NBA playoffs. The NBA playoffs are officially underway in, obviously it's the first round and a lot can happen, but a somewhat disappointing start to the first round. Nothing really memorable going on as of right now in these playoffs.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of been a lot of blowouts right now, but the Nuggets-Clippers series...
Oh, yeah, that's been awesome.
It has been electric, and the Knicks-Pistons series has also been a lot of fun. And then have a little bit of drama going on with the Houston-Golden State series, but, like, that's what makes playoffs more fun. Like, yeah, I don't root for injuries or nothing, but, like, seeing people, like, players getting physical, it's like, I just love how electric it makes the playoffs. So there's been some exciting things going on so far.
Yeah, I feel like this playoffs, you kind of expected these first-round matchups to kind of be, like, more lopsided, but the second round's really when it picks up, but I think that Clippers-Nuggets one is going to be a really good series from here on out. Kawhi has been, like, at his prime again, so I feel like every now and then we're going to see good matchups, but then again we're going to see the blowouts come again.
Yeah, and going off of that, Julian, that Kawhi Leonard, he just went off in game one. He just, the claw is back, and you could just see that he's back. Jokic has been dominant for the Nuggets, and then you have the other series with both one seeds leading 2-0, so it's just been good rounds of basketball early on.
I think the one takeaway I have so far, and me and Joey were talking a little bit about this in office earlier, but, you know, Giannis can only do so much because they just are getting manhandled by this Pacers team, which, I mean, I guess you could say sleeper right now. Maybe.
No.
Probably not.
The no, Eastern they are. Because here's the thing, like, they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals last year and still get no love. Like, it's kind of ridiculous. Like, this team, they can just score the ball at will. It's fun to watch. And I think Tyrese Halliburton's, like, so underrated when it comes to the start. Because, like, I'm not sure if you guys saw, like, I forgot what it's called. It's, like, player polls or something like that. And the league voted for the most overrated player.
And they put Tyrese.
Yeah, Tyrese Halliburton won that. I think that's just ridiculous. Like, Tyrese Halliburton, his ability to facilitate the ball while still being able to get a bucket is, like, incredible. And he's really been able to showcase that against Milwaukee.
I think they're a good team, but, like, not a team that takes it over the top. You know what I mean? Like,
no, but they're always going to be close. That's what a sleeper team is. Yeah.
They're always going to be close, but I feel like they're always going to be that one team, like how Toronto was so many years back. The Hawks were, like, the same way. Like, they're just never going to make over the top.
I want to ask you guys this question, and we'll keep talking, like, especially as, you know, we only have so many episodes left, so this is actually our last time talking about the NBA, so we can make some predictions and whatnot. But I don't know if you guys would agree with me on this. I feel like there's only, like, a handful of teams that I look at right now, and obviously some series are 2-0 and they're leaning one way, but I feel like there's only a handful of teams that I can legitimately see winning the finals this year.
I think there's three.
Three or four.
I would go three. I would do whoever makes it between Cleveland and Boston, and then OKC is just levels above the West, which is so crazy to think about because the West is so good.
You don't think the Lakers? I would put the Lakers in that
group before. I think the Lakers
would
be the Western Conference Finals team, but just the Lakers' biggest issue is size. They are so small, and they have to go against the size of OKC with, like, Chet, Hartenstein, and all them boys. I just don't really see how they can win that matchup.
I would probably go four teams. My last was going to sound crazy, but I go to the Celtics. I think the Cavs are going to lose them either way, but I'll say the Cavs just because. OKC, and I would put, just because of how Kawhi has been playing, I don't know why.
I kind of like
the Clippers. I kind of like the Clippers, too, because also Zubac has been a really good big man as well.
We also can't count out the team that, you know, even though they just fired their coach and there's a lot of internal issues there. I mean, the team that won the finals 2 years ago in the Denver Nuggets, they have, you know, arguably, if it weren't for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, not even arguably, the MVP of the NBA and probably the best player in the league.
He's easily the best player in the league. I don't think it's too ridiculous to say that now. It's just the role players in that team just suck. Like, yeah. It's just not the team that was 2 years ago. Like, they clearly lost all those guys. But I got to hype up Julian because, like, I love that Clippers take. Like, I don't want to be the bold one to say it, but they're so good. Like, James Harden isn't, like, prime James Harden, but he's still playing to a different level compared to the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Whoever are the doctors that worked on Kawhi's knees need to take a bow, because Kawhi looks like prime Kawhi, which too many people think Toronto, San Antonio's prime Kawhi. I don't know why we're getting that ridiculous conversation. And Zubac's incredible. They got the role players in Norman Powell. So much defense with Derrick Jones and Chris Dunn. Like, they're just such a complete basketball team that can do everything.
And it's crazy, because going into this year, people looked at this Clippers team and they're like, that's a lottery team.
Yeah, I laughed at them.
And I was just... I understand where they were coming from, because Kawhi hasn't played a healthy season. He still wasn't healthy 100% this year, but still. And, you know, James Harden was significantly falling. Like, he just continues to get worse and worse. And they were like, oh, what are they going to do with Paul George? Well, guess what? They got a third scoring option in Norman Powell out of nowhere. And now I think, you know, they're one of the most fun teams in basketball to watch. And, you know, everything Steve Ballmer, I mean, you could say maybe besides this, the team that lost to the Phoenix Suns when the Phoenix Suns were in the finals, this is probably the best Clippers team since Lob City, besides that team that went to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, and we're not giving credit to one person. We got to give credit to Ty Lue. I mean, Ty Lue is probably a top three coach in the NBA now, because this Clippers team, it probably shouldn't be as good as it is. And he just has success everywhere he goes. And I think if someone else was leading this dance, they would have been a play-in team.
I'm going to agree with you, Joe. I think this Clippers team, they're not back from where they were previously. I'm also going to stick with the OKC train. I think they have the power, and then if they can face off against the Clippers in the conference semifinals, it's going to be a really fun matchup.
I want OKC to feel so bad.
You're crazy.
I was talking about this earlier. I want him to feel so bad. I really want to see J-Dub not do a good job.
Why do you hate him so bad?
Because people are like, oh, you can't trade him for Giannis. I think it's like the most ridiculous conversation of all time.
We've had that with what, like week two, three, something like that. I still like.
And we
stand
have it like
by
once
it.
A month in the office.
Yeah, I mean, I still stand by it, because like, look at how this team's grown with the chemistry. Like, you can't just break that up when they're just 21 to 26 years old.
We could have this conversation when they somehow go crashing and burning, or we don't even have to have this conversation if they win the NBA finals.
We're going to have this conversation.
If they win the NBA finals.
We're going to do a Red Zone episode over the summer. It's just going
to
happen.
We're done.
I'm going to be ready to talk.
We're done after this.
Be ready to be added on Twitter.
I do want to say about the Thunder, though. I mean, they legitimately right now are playing on a different level than the Memphis Grizzlies, to the point of where Shai has had probably two of his worst games of the season, and they're still beating them by... what was the one game? A 40-point victory, 40-plus, and then the other one almost 30? I mean, it was absolutely insane, and what the Thunder have been able to do, and it makes sense why they're such heavy favorites to win the NBA Finals this year.
Yeah, and I think a series like this is, like, so important for them, because, like, it's so obvious they're going to get a sweep, but now they're able to give, like, other guys and other systems a chance. Like, they're running more of these big lineups to see if they can use it to compete in the next round, and that's why a series like this is so important. Like, yeah... people might think they might not take it seriously, but they're taking it seriously by their ability to throw out the different systems, the different size, see what's going to work for the next round, and being able to get all that experience in the playoffs is so crucial. Like, I know I was just dogging OKC, and I said I want to see them fail, but this team is just so talented on all levels of the ball. They're so elite defensively, and Shai can kind of do like the Jason Tatum thing. Like, he doesn't need to show up because the team is just so freaking talented.
Yeah. I want to get a pulse on, obviously, I think we could say the Nuggets and Clippers have been the best series so far, but the one that I kind of predicted going into this thing that I thought was going to be absolute so much fun, and it was a good game last night that got really chippy, between the Rockets and Warriors. You know, I try and watch as much NBA as possible. I try and take it all in. I still don't understand how this Houston Rockets team is a number two seed, and I feel like the Warriors are going to win this series.
I don't know. Go ahead. I mean, like, I don't know, because Jimmy just went down with an injury.
Is he, like, out? Like, is it bad?
I mean, a tailbone injury is just lingering. So yeah. You never really know how long it's going to last with it, but the Rockets are just such a young, athletic team, and I feel like that's what makes them dominate on the court, because when you have guys flying around like Jalen Green, Jabari Smith, and at the bottom, Sengun's also a great playmaker, too. Like, this team has so many different weapons that they're just also growing at the same time, and being 22 to, like, 25 still, I think this team has a lot more room for improvement.
Go ahead.
And then you compare that to the Golden State Warriors on the other team. You look at Curry and Draymond. They're names who have been in the league for a while, so they're still really, really good players. They're just... You got some age there, and that could be the difference in the series.
There's three reasons why the Houston Rockets are elite. First off, as Julian said, this team is athletic. What Amen Thompson can do, 99% of the league can't do it. It is unreal. Secondly, this team's so good at defense. Tari Eason's one of the best perimeter defenders in the league. Amen Thompson, one of the best defenders in the league. And the third one, which is, I think, their most underrated aspect, this team's ability to use their size to get offensive rebounds is ridiculous. Like, they're throwing out looks of Sengun and Steven Adams. It's like, why in the world are you doing this? And it's because they lead the league in offensive rebounding by a ridiculous margin. This team knows how to create second chance opportunities. They're just such a gritty young team. That's what's kind of just causing problems for Golden State right now.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how that series ends up. It's going to be a lot of fun. And it's so weird seeing them play each other, too, without Harden and like Chris yeah. Paul. Like, I just think back to like those classic matchups they had.
I try and forget
way back then. Yeah.
Should have won it.
What was it? 27 missed threes.
Yeah, something like that. I think it was 0 for 27.
We got to talk about this guy because he is just an absolute menace on the court. I think you guys know where I'm going with this. You know, you think when you think of American stars in the NBA, I feel like Jason Tatum is probably the best, but the NBA is pushing heavy for this guy, and it's really hard for them to do that because of some of his antics on the court. Anthony Edwards is just a joy to watch play basketball.
There's like four names that went by.
Yeah, I was like, Draymond. Anthony Edwards, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys saw the clip, right? The clip that I'm implying? Lakers fan?
I don't know why it took
you
so long.
I know what you're talking about.
Some of the things that Anthony Edwards cannot be said on air, but it is just so funny that he was dominating the Lakers and just goes to a Laker fan that's chirping him and just tells him off with some kind words. Do we think the Timberwolves have a good chance of beating the Lakers? Because they handled them fairly well in that first game.
It's just so tough because, like, each team, it's just like a stylistic matchup because, like, the Timberwolves, they bring out the size and they bring in the defense. And then the Lakers, they're the smallest team in the playoffs and they just score at will. So it always just depends on who can play their style of matchup. I just like L.A. more. I mean, they kind of figured out, like, Jaden McDaniels is a great perimeter defender, especially with the size. He's just too small, so Luka's able to use his size and take advantage of him in opportunities that's needed. I think the Lakers got the star power, and just the development of Austin Reeves has just been so crucial for this team. And it's just going to be so bad for Adam Silver and this PR team trying to figure out who to build the league around when Anthony Edwards gets another early playoff exit.
Yeah, I think it's a really close matchup around like the perimeter, but when you go down low, Rudy Gobert causes so many different matchup problems just because when Luka's on a switch with him, it's an automatic shot. We all just know that, but also having LeBron just playmaking and not really even just like playing how we know LeBron can play being 40 years old at this level. This Lakers team has not even hit their potential at all yet, but at the same time, Anthony Edwards is a crazy playoff performer and we know what he can do on the court. But I just really think that the star power on the Lakers is just way too much for them.
I'm going to disagree with you. I feel like there's going to be an upset, and I feel like the power of Ant is just going to take over, and he's going to take down Luka and LeBron and send him home.
It's going to be interesting to watch that one unfold. And the craziest part about the West, too, is like the Thunder are like the best team, obviously, and you could put them in a different tier, but like, in terms of like the hierarchy of the NBA right now, I feel like it's the Thunder, and then you got the Cavs, and then you got the Celtics, and we know the Celtics basically are one because they just won the championship. Mm. But then like the rest of the West besides the Grizzlies are like the same exact team, and they can find ways to beat you in so many different ways, and they all finished basically with like the same record this year.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it was pretty nuts to watch unfold, and I'm excited to see how the rest of these playoffs unfold because some of these teams are just exciting and just the way that I think that this bracket could shake up. We won't be able to talk about it anymore, though, because we're not talking NBA anymore. We are going to get into the NFL draft for the next 45 minutes. We're so excited. We'll stick it right here on the Red Zone. 103.3 WZND back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Julian Voss, Joey the Master, Jaden Cohn, getting ready to talk some NFL draft and what we are now hearing from Adam Schefter. Well, we didn't hear it personally, but we saw it on Twitter. To in the top 10, expect explosives. And right now, the Chicago Bears are picking in the top 10. But things have been a ruckus all day. Rumors started swirling last night. We knew the Bears were in love with Ashton Jeanty. We knew that it always seemed like that was going to be the pick at 10. But then other teams started joining the party and said, you know what, I love Ashton Jeanty even more. And, you know, maybe they do, or maybe they're just trying to get the Bears to trade up. Because as of right now, about 40 minutes away from the start of this draft. Mm-hmm. Even though the Bears are picking at 10, it does not feel like they will be picking at 10 tonight.
No, there's no chance this team's picking at 10. And let's say hypothetically they can't even get the dream trade up. There's still an opportunity this team trades down. I have not been this stressed for a Bears draft in so long just because there is so much that can happen tonight. And I'm excited, even though Steve was giving me crap for being excited about the draft because his Lions won their first time in like 2 years, but whatever.
Yeah, I last year, like, we all knew who was probably going to be, like, the first, like, five or so picks. This season, I'm just like, what's going to happen? There's going to be so many trades that I feel like are going to happen. But at the same time, one of these top three teams, I feel like, is going to be like, taking, like, a wow type pick, too.
Yeah, but we got to talk Chicago Bears because, I mean, there's just so much to expect. So, Julian, I'm going to ask you, like, are you trading up for Jeanty? Like, let me phrase this better. How much are you willing to give up to trade for Jeanty?
If I was moving up from 10 to 5 to take Jeanty, I would have to think, like, obviously you're giving up number 10. You're going to give up at least one of the seconds, and then I'd probably say you're going to want to at least try to swap it with a fourth this year.
Yeah, get a fourth, yeah.
Maybe give up, like, a fifth next year.
Please give up DeAndre Swift. Please give up DeAndre Swift. I'm manifesting it. I've lit the candles. We're doing the ritual. But please get rid of DeAndre Swift.
They could build their own Sonic and Knuckles through the draft, maybe.
My thing is, though, like, why wouldn't you try to get one of the blue chips in this draft? I mean, you look at what this team's done all offseason. You're building through the O-line. You obviously still have work to do with it to getting another tackle and some depth. But with how this draft's shaping up, there's not that many big O-line prospects. And why not get the big blue chip that your teams have been expecting to get after these last few years?
I think having Jeanty would just be game-changing. Like, it wasn't even a thought before Ben Johnson came to the team and what he's done over the offseason, just building up this offensive line. Adding a power back like Jeanty would just make this offensive Bears team incredible to watch.
Yeah, especially just for like the considerations of this draft, because if the Bears stay at 10, I've seen so many rumors of them taking a tight end, and I just think that would infuriate me.
You've hated that since we were at the Arch Madness tournament.
Yeah, it's dumb. I don't want a tight end at 10. Like, it's 2025, and we're going to roll out two tight end systems. Like, let's be serious. And like,
yeah, but Ben Johnson loves running the 12-man personnel.
Well, and also, Warren's a do-it-all type of guy.
Tyler Warren is going to be in the backfield.
Somebody take home your daughter. He's a real gritty guy. Like, I don't want Tyler Warren on my team. He's not that generational of a prospect like we're hyping up to be. Like, look at Penn State. Like, they had running backs, they had tight ends, and then me and Jaden Cohn were wide receiver one and two. Like, Tyler Warren was just bound to get his touches.
Did you see what that dude did against teams?
I did. I watched the Notre Dame game, and my takeaway was Carter is the best football player of all time.
No, literally.
And then, like, I'm hearing talks like Colston Loveland.
Okay, that's the one I think is
good. That's where we're going to.
Like, why are we drafting, like, a Robert Tonyan regen? Like, at 10, can we please be serious?
I really haven't been able to wrap my head around it all day, like what the possibilities are for this team. And I guess I could give my two cents on Ashton Jeanty. I have always been, if they were going to stay at 10, I'm fine with them building in the trenches and getting another offensive lineman or getting a D lineman because, you know, players get hurt. Players get hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be an injury on the O-line or D-line this year. It's going to happen. But having Ashton Jeanty as a Chicago Bear would be so much fun. And I kind of talked to you about this earlier, Joey, is the fact that this would not have even been a thought if Ben Johnson wasn't the head coach. Mm-hmm. This would, if we had any other coach in football right now, legitimately, I think any other coach in football, there's no chance they're not talking about drafting Ashton Jeanty. And here we are, and they are doing, it seems like, everything in their power to get into the top five and draft one of the greatest college running backs of all time.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, this is the greatest running back draft prospect I've seen in my lifetime, because the guy can break any tackle he wants. Last season led all running backs with receptions. He can catch the ball. And the guy can block. How many running backs do you say can block? He took Abdul Carter in one-on-one situations, and that is the best defensive end prospect in the draft right now. Like, he's just a guy that can do it all, and I think it just provides the Bears so many opportunities on offense if you have a guy in the backfield, and it's just, I don't want to see DeAndre Swift starting yet. I really don't.
I low-key want to flip the script a little bit.
Okay.
What if the trade-up is for Mason Graham instead?
I would also love that. Yes, Mason Graham is a freak of nature. That guy is a beast. And, like, I think the Bears have made significant improvement in the defensive line this offseason. I'm still not totally moved. Like,
yeah.
I think Montez Sweat's a beast. Grady Jarrett's awesome.
And Dale like, at a bingo or whatever his name is.
The desk just started floating.
I don't know, I'm just saying, Dale, they paid him very well.
But, like, he wasn't even that good at Indianapolis, so, like, I'm not totally sold on the defensive line, and, like, that's why, like, I wanted to draft Edge, but the issue is they all have character issues for some reason, so, like, yeah. I doubt we're gonna get our guy there. So, if they went with Mason Graham, he was incredible for Michigan. That's also a move I would love.
And the other thing, too, about it is, like, we're talking Ashton Jeanty, and it's so clear and obvious, but, like, as you just mentioned, like, Mason Graham, you know, we could even be in play for Abdul Carter because there's so many different trade partners right now. We're talking, and we'll talk about, I'm seeing some things, and we'll talk about in the next segment. I kind of mentioned it before the show, but we're trying to stick to Bears here. But there's a chance that they can get to four, and the Giants just shock everyone and go Shador or Jackson Dart.
I mean,
that's a possibility in play. And then if you're the Bears, you're sitting there at four and you were expecting Abdul Carter to go to the Giants and you're like, well, I guess we got to take the best player in the draft, right? Like, it just throws everything out the window. But you're not complaining if you trade up for Abdul Carter. I'm not complaining either way.
No. But at the same time, you got to be smart with what you give up. This team has a very big lack of depth and you don't want to give up multiple seconds this season or maybe even like, I have a whole another trade thing. Go, Joey, go ahead.
See, this is why I disagree with Julian. I don't do that too frequently, even though we already disagreed twice today.
We always disagree.
No, we don't, Julian. We're best friends. We love each other. But the big thing for me is, would you rather have three average players or one elite player? Because, like, you can get elite players in other drafts. You don't need to completely fill out your roster in one draft. That's why I'd rather get that. I'd rather sacrifice everything we need to if it's for Abdul Carter or Ashton Jeanty, because I think they are team-changing players rather than just guys that are going to help the team win. Like, they're going to completely change what our potential and future is. So that's why I would go, I want to keep at least one of the seconds, but if they went all in, I would not be upset.
Okay, do you guys want to listen to my big trade thing I thought about earlier today?
Oh, this guy's cooking.
Okay, this is going to sound absolutely insane, but I was thinking, what if they pulled off, this is totally not going to happen, what if they pulled off what the Texans pulled off, getting into two picks in the top 10, giving up their pick next year, maybe both the seconds this year?
That'd be insane.
Only just to get also build up your line, O-line or D-line, and also get your guy in offense.
I would get emotional.
Or they trade for 4 and 5 and go Abdul. They probably won't get Abdul Carter, but Mason Graham and Ashton Jeanty. That'd be so sick.
We'd have to have some serious conversations on what this team's going to do next year.
And I'm totally fine with trading my first round pick away. And you probably have to trade. You're trading away both your seconds too.
That's what I'm saying.
But like, you're getting like blue chip, like this. You're getting the two best players in the draft.
100%.
Like, maybe besides Travis Hunter, but I would take Jeanty and Carter.
How many goosebumps did you have, Julian?
If that actually happens, a million. If it doesn't happen, I would not be surprised whatsoever because it's a one shot in a billion.
Yeah. Bloomington Normal would hear a lot of me if that happened.
Let's say I know there's a lot of movement, but let's say hypothetically that they do manage to pull off a trade. Are we thinking they go all the way to four, or are we thinking five is the safe pick with the Jaguars?
Well, I wanted to say five, but, I mean, we're going to talk about it soon.
Yeah.
Jacksonville does not want anybody to know what they're doing, because you've heard trade down, stay in the spot, trade up. So I almost just want to trade at four, because I have no idea what's happening at five.
And it seems like New England is content with picking at 10.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're still going to get one of the best O-line prospects on the board for Drake May. Yeah, I don't know. This thing is all over the place. What about the hypothetical that they trade back? Are you guys okay with that?
100%. I mean, at the end of the day, why not get more? If your guy's not there and it goes like all the guys are left and all of a sudden Shedeur Sanders is there, why not move back and let the Steelers go up and get more assets? I mean, I don't think it's a bad idea at all.
I don't know if it's just me or just like the way that I'm thinking, but it almost feels like the Bears have been trying to trade up all week. Because it feels like they only have two players on their board in the top 10. And the way that the discussions have gone, feels like they've only circled Ashton Jeanty and Abdul Carter. And it feels almost as if they are not there by the time that they want to trade up, they're probably going to trade back. And I'm perfectly fine with that, getting assets. I don't know necessarily where you would go if you trade back, because I'm thinking, how far do you go back? Is that maybe you switch up and you still do stick with running back and go on Omarion Hampton, or are just upgrade the O-line or D-line? There's a lot of potential, or even trade back and get one of those tight ends that we're talking about.
And like you just said, Ben, it's a lot of possibilities. If you trade back, you're able to build up that offensive line a little more, build up on that defensive line, potentially not get the number one running back in the draft, but you can get maybe the second or the third one and make some magic happen.
Anything not to take a tight end at 10 in my eyes. Yeah. I've been such a hater on that for the past 2 months. I'm going to stay on that train. I don't want Warren at 10. I especially don't want Loveland at 10. No, my Twitter would be something else if that ended up happening. But it's like, as Ben alluded to, if your guy's not there, don't feel like you're forced to take someone. You can trade back and get even more assets, and then you can totally complete out the roster, and you'd have a lot of excitement next year.
Did you guys see Ashton Gentry, future Bear Ashton Gentry's fit today?
Oh, yeah.
He's got Crocs on.
He's so cool.
Some stylish Crocs with some diamonds on there.
You don't want him dressed nice in Green Bay. He already said he hates it.
What if the Bears are just throwing smoke screens at the rest of the league? Like, what if they don't even want Ashton Gentry?
They go Cam Ward.
That'd be crazy. Shador Sanders. Dude, I saw the other day there was this tweet of these guys that apparently like do mock drafts every year at this bar, and not even in Chicago. But it was they did a mock draft of this NFL draft, and I forgot where it was at, but they had the Bears picking Shador Sanders at 10. It's like, you either don't know ball and you're not paying attention, or these guys are probably just like the biggest Caleb Williams haters in the world. Like, it's one or the other.
It's got to be Caleb Williams haters.
I mean, he always is.
And 2025 is kind of ridiculous, but yeah, it's just...
You know, if they take Shador, it'd be a perfect timing, you know?
We got a minute before we talk about the rest of the draft, but I just want to ask, like, if they do... There's still obviously a ton of rounds after the first, but if they trade get Gentry tonight, like, where does that leave the Bears, like, in terms of, like, your excitedness and just, like, really the future going forward for this team?
So the scientists...
Like, does it change everything?
The scientists, they, like, discovered a new color a couple of days ago. They would need to discover a new number for my excitement if the Bears bring in Gentry, because that team is going to be so freaking exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been saying the Bears should draft Gentry since, like, November to everybody that I know, and since then I've been told it's a crazy idea, and if they do it now, I feel like I just got to stand by. And if he's not a stud, I don't know what I would do.
He's going to be a stud. You got anything?
If they draft Gentry, it's just going to be awesome to watch. And the powerhouse of Williams with their head coach and Brian and Ben Johnson, it would just be a fun team to watch.
It will be so, so, so exciting to see what the Bears end up doing tonight. We'll be following it as much as possible. We'll see if any news breaks in the next 30 minutes. We'll be back on the Red Zone to talk more NFL draft. WZND back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Julian Vosch, Joe LeMaster, Jane Cohn talking more NFL draft. And as I alluded to earlier, a day that in the top 10 apparently will be explosive, and there are rumors flying everywhere right now about potential moves. I don't even know where to start. Right now, Pete Carroll is dropping draft hints with just gifts of Will Smith and Sinners the movie. What else did he drop? The office scene where they're doing the Texas shootout. So many different things. I think we could start off. I think this is probably the big news. No one really knows what's going on with Jacksonville right now. It felt like they were a lock to sit at number 5 and just take best player on the board. And then the other day they were like, you know what, actually, we love Ashton Gentry. And you're like, well, you have two pretty solid running backs. Probably not the best, but, you know, two solid running backs. What's going on? Maybe they are just taking the best player on the board in Ashton Gentry. No, now they're trying to trade up to number 2, apparently, while also trying to trade back. I can only imagine, Dom Hootie, I pray for you right now, because he told me he cannot wrap his head around what is going on with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I mean, we don't know what's going on with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I don't think they know either. I mean, the past 5 years have been like a dumpster fire since they like drafted Trevor Lawrence, because we know how much Julian loves Trevor Lawrence.
Probably yo. There was 1 year of fun.
I hate that man for no reason. I just can't stand him.
Yeah, so I don't think Jacksonville knows what's going on either, and it just... it just caused so much chaos. It produces headaches. And if I'm Jacksonville, like, how much is it going to cost for them to trade up? That's, like, my big question. Because, like, I know they want to get – I'm assuming, is it Travis Connor? Are we thinking Abdul Carter?
Or what, number
if they
two?
Two?
I think they're probably thinking Travis Hunter. I think that would probably – I think the Travis Hunter, if he wants to pursue anywhere to be a two-way player, I feel like Jacksonville is, like, the best spot for him. You know what I mean? And, you know, he's going to come to the NFL, and his plan is to play cornerback and wide receiver, but I feel like that would be the best place to, like, totally back it up because they have a position over open at cornerback, and they clearly need wide receiver help as well.
I think Hunter, he's phenomenal on both sides of the ball, but I feel like Jacksonville would just be a good spot for him because Lawrence, he needs receivers, and that would he would just fit in like a puzzle piece.
Lawrence needs talent. That's his problem.
You're talking about Trevor Lawrence, the player?
Both.
Both.
You guys are haters, man.
I mean, to
worst generational quarterback ever.
The GM of the Jacksonville, James Gladstone, looks like he's, like, our age playing Madden. But so, like, I don't really know if he knows what he's doing all that well, just because it's his first season, obviously, and you're
picking top five.
And you have Liam Cohen as well, his first season as a head coach. Both these guys don't really know what they're doing that well, so I feel like the team's low-key going to finesse him a bit.
That's why I feel like you need, like, a trade-down in this situation, because like, everybody's in their first year. Like, you kind of got to build a future, because, like, there's just going to be learning curves. What else is new, Jacksonville? So I think it would be smarter for them to trade down. I'm not just saying that because, like, the Bears can hypothetically trade up and get Ashton Jeanty, but it's just I think a trade down would be wiser for this team.
100%.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I want to talk about the quarterbacks. It feels like we all know that Cam Ward is going to be the number one player off the board. First quarterback off the board, it always made sense. But we're getting into a situation now where even though Cam Ward seems like the consensus number one pick, this is having the feelings of Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett, quarterback draft with the rest of the guys, and Jackson Dart, and more specifically, Shedeur Sanders, who, you know, I think if you talked to us a month ago, we're probably saying he's a lock to go in the top 10. No? I mean, you could disagree. I think like a month or two ago, I was thinking like, it makes sense for the Giants, it makes sense for the Raiders, just to go and get him. You could talk about the player and like, the fact, you might not necessarily, I think you're shaking your head because you just don't like it, like the ability.
I've never liked his ability as a player.
But it always felt like he was gonna go in the top 10 no matter, I don't know why, I always thought that. But now it's just, it seems like he bombed all his pre-draft interviews. He's free-falling right now. And right now he is the betting favorite is the Steelers at 21.
Yeah, you think Mike Tomlin would learn after Kenny Pickett not to make this mistake again?
Well, they don't have a quarterback right now on their roster,
yeah,
so they need one. Mason Rudolph's not even there. They have zero quarterbacks on their roster right now.
Really?
I'm pretty
sure. That's crazy. Well, that sucks. They got to waste a pick on Shedeur Sanders. Because, like, I know people like to give him garbage about his personality. That's not even the reason why I dislike him. He's just not a good player. Like, there's nothing that moves me as a quarterback prospect. I think he has good short accuracy, but he can't throw the ball far. He has no arm talent. He's not an athlete. He can't read a pocket. He would rather take a sack than ruin his completion percentage. It's just, he has never moved the needle for me as a player, and there's nothing that I look at him and says, wow, this is really exciting. This is enticing. This is a quarterback we can build our team around, especially with a first-round pick. I just have never seen it in Shedeur Sanders.
Joey, do you think Shedeur is a Nepo baby?
I mean, that's not ridiculous to say. If his last name was LeMaster, he probably would be a day three pick. But, yeah, I mean, the Deion hype's always going to be there, and like, you know how many, like, he's going to do ridiculous probably merch sales. Like, there's a real possibility outside of if Jeanty's a Bear that Shedeur Sanders can have the most jersey sales. I mean, it just brings a lot of Hollywood, it brings a lot of excitement, but just I just have never seen it.
I'm going to say something so shocking. I disagree heavily with you right now. Heavily. I mean, I think to me, Shedeur Sanders is one of the most overhated prospects I've ever seen come through. Mm-hmm. He played on a Colorado team that he got sacked a million times on, also while making very clutch plays at the end of games. He also made his receivers also top prospects in this draft right now. If we count like Jimmy Horn, Travis Hunter's obviously Travis Hunter, better prospect in general, but I think Shedeur Sanders has the ability to be a very solid quarterback, like a better type of Geno Smith quarterback in this league, just because Geno's been serviceable. Mm-hmm. But Shedeur Sanders as a field general, his arm is good enough, but at the same time, he does have the messy plays where he has a sack. We know that.
Yes.
That can get cleaned up. At the same time, if he goes to a team that knows how to process a field general, a quarterback that does not like to move around the pocket that well, I think he could be a pretty good prospect in the league.
Yeah, I agreed with almost everything you said there because he does have those strengths. But I really just don't think the arm talent's there. Like, he can't throw the ball that far. I don't think he's that strong, and I don't think he has, like, the mobility to make up for it, which is, like, if he's a day two pick, which I don't think is going to happen, I would understand a little bit more because there are some tangibles. But when it comes to, like, just first-round talent, I have not seen it. And, like, again, I don't really care for the personality. If you can hoop, you can play on my team. That's always been my mentality. 100%. But, like, if so many people are, like, worried about what his mentality is or what his personality is, like, I think it's only going to cause him to slip. I can understand why people would dislike him for that reason. But I don't care. If you can win me games, you're on my team. Simple as that.
Hey, all I'm saying, too, is in terms of quarterbacks and guys like Shedeur Sanders and Jackson Dart, I know we already talked about the Bears, but we want them to go in the top 10 because it changes a lot of things. Yes. I don't think it's leaning that way because you kind of get a pulse on these things before the draft. Like, honestly, I don't think I've ever – there's never really been a pick in the NFL draft besides last year when the Falcons went Michael Penix where I felt absolutely shocked, like fell to my knees, like – where did this come from? This was so unexpected. Like, I never even heard anything about it. Maybe the way that people are talking about tonight, that could certainly happen. But, you know, right now it just feels like Cam Ward's going to go number one. Jackson Dart, his stock is rising to be a first-round pick, potentially. I just saw that there's a report that he's not getting past the Saints at 9.
I don't buy that.
I don't buy that either. And also, it seems like Jackson and Shedeur will be late first round picks, but it'd be crazy if they fell into the second round.
I mean, this Jackson Dart rise is so funny because, like, I watched this episode with John Gruden and just his hard count's the funniest thing. It's just one hand clap.
That's what Riley Leonard does too, though.
Yeah, again, we're talking about Riley Leonard in the first round right now. Like, I mean, Jackson Dart, I mean, the Ole Miss system, I just kind of think benefits him for him to get more reps to pass the ball. Again, it's just, I'm just not really moved outside of Cam Ward. And, like, I think Cam Ward's to be a good player, but, like, I'm not even sure, like, in many other drafts he would be the number one pick. But again, I'm just so excited for this draft. Like, I want to know what Jacksonville's gonna do. I want to know what Cleveland's gonna do. I really need these trades to drop, like, really bad. Like, I'm tired of waiting.
What if Jerry Jones shocks the world, takes his new quarterback and Shedeur?
That would be the team.
No, they just extended Dak.
No, they got their quarterback, Joe Milton. You know how long I've been on this Joe Milton hype train?
I forgot about that.
Dude, no, they got his replacement. Joe Milton's such a dog. You guys were so lucky I wasn't on Red Zone to hype up Joe Milton because I would have been annoying.
I love Joe Milton too. Not gonna lie.
He's kind of fun. Not gonna lie.
Kinda. Joe Milton is fun.
What is going on? Like, with, I wish that something. Okay, here we go. Jay Glazer, 3 minutes ago. Jaguars and Brown trade looks like it could go down and talks are happening, but nothing done till done, obviously. There's not going to be a trade that breaks before 7 o'clock.
No chance.
0% chance. But it just feels like this first round is just going to get exploded. And what random team are we going to see just pop into the top 10? Like, that's just where I'm at right now.
I've heard some hype with the Rams.
Apparently, the
Rams really want another, they want a new tight end because they're kind of jealous of what happened with, like, Brock Bowers. I've seen some reports that they might try up to get Warren or Loveland.
Okay.
Not sure how high up that's going to be, but
they also love Jackson Dart, apparently, too.
If the Jackson Browns did make this trade, what realistically would the Browns want to do at 5, though?
Probably offensive line, yeah.
O-line.
I mean, they need to find a way to protect a quarterback. I don't know who the quarterback's going to be, but
Joe Flacco?
That's who it is right now, right? Yeah. I mean, they're not going to ride out Dorian Thomas Robinson. Unless they shock everyone, trade back to 5 because they want to get some draft capital knowing that a quarterback's going to be there at 5. That could also shock everyone.
I have a friend at Western, or who used to go to Western Kentucky. That's how he messed him, is Jack O'Mara, and he thinks Cleveland's going to trade back twice.
Wow.
I don't see why.
And go quarterback?
Yeah, I don't know why they don't do that more.
I think it's too much as like a Madden move, though, honestly.
Yeah, I mean,
too much money ball.
This could go all day. I'm just so excited for this thing to kick off because I feel like the amount of possibilities is purely impossible. And I think another team that you could kind of circle right now at 6, and we talk about Pete Carroll dropping all the tweets, but you know what the Raiders are going to do at 6. Let's just say this stays the same, which it's not. Jenty feels like the popular pick, but like, was that just a smokescreen out of nowhere to start getting the Bears to try and trade up and them figure something out?
I want to see the Raiders take a weapon, get another option for Geno, because I know he's got like Brock Bowers and like it's like Jakobi Meyers and like who cares? I don't think it's ridiculous to go running back here if I'm being honest. Like, I think it would be because McMillan's not that good in my opinion. Like, this could be Amarian Hampton range. It could be Henderson Rain. It could be Judkins Rain. I think we're especially compared to other years, this is probably my draft hot take if we're going to do those real quick. I think we're going to see like three, maybe four running backs in the first round this year.
I wouldn't be surprised. To me, the Raiders should, like, I'm disagreeing again, but I feel like Tet McMillan just makes a lot of sense for them too, because Geno needs another big receiver. Jacoby Myers is a good inside slot guy, but you need that outside guy in Tet McMillan that can make the big play. But at the same time, they release Jack Jones, one of their corners, so I wouldn't be surprised if they went Will Johnson as well either.
Yeah, it's
but
just
Genty makes sense too, obviously.
McMillan, he just can't create separation for the life of him. He has some of the worst statistics in college just ever when it comes to that. I think it's concerning, even though I think he can make the big catches. He's not that quick. I don't think he's an amazing route runner, and just the inability to create separation is just such a need in the NFL, and the fact he can't do that. Like, I just think this is such a glaring red flag. Ben, you got any hot takes? Is there a prospect you love?
I love the running backs. That's why, I think we've talked about it before. And, if they don't end up going with Ashton Genty in the first round, and maybe even if they shock us and some take Omarion Hampton, which I just don't think is going to happen, I could totally see a world where they draft one of the running backs in the second round. And, I like Judkins. I like Caleb Johnson. I like Travion Henderson. So I wouldn't mind, personally, from the Bears, or really any team. I think there's a lot of teams with holes at running back right now. I think you look at Denver. I think you look at Dallas. I think those teams all need running backs. And those kind of prospects, it's just like one of the deepest running back draft classes I think I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Pat Bryant. You advise wide receiver?
Oh, Jade, you got any hot, Jade, any hot takes? Any hot takes, Jade?
I'm just going to say that compared to last year, obviously, the quarterback position is weaker. I'm a big running back fan, like Ben mentioned. I think Camp Scataboo is a sleeper, honestly. After watching him in the playoffs, he just went off and took over that game, and I'm a big fan of him.
All right. Well, when we come back on the Red Zone, hopefully no breaking news break before this draft. Actually, I wouldn't mind that because we have something to talk about. But we are going to do a mock draft, the Red Zone mock draft here on the Red Zone. WZNG back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Julian Boss, Joe the Master, Jaden Cohn. We're getting set for the draft that starts in 15 minutes. We couldn't be more excited about what's about to break down. So we're going to do our own little Red Zone mock draft. See how this thing goes and see how we predict that this NFL draft is going to shake up. And we'll start with the number one overall pick, where I think we're all in agreement that the Tennessee Titans will be taking Cam Ward from the University of Miami.
Yeah, the Will Levis run, it was a lot of fun, but it's time to get a new era going in Tennessee. They signed another washed wide receiver so they can continue that tradition as well.
I mean, that dude said that Calvin Ridley's the best receiver in the league on his stream, so obviously he's going to the Titans.
Yeah. Gotta hype up them boys, make sure they know that they're loved before you come in. Way to build a culture and identity.
Also, I think in terms of Cam Ward, he's obviously the best quarterback on the board, and he had such a great college career. But I think it's like a low-key risky pick. Like, I feel like with Cam Ward, he's not going to be as funny, but I think there's a chance that we might be getting the next we might be getting another Jameis Winston in the NFL. Like, he's going to turn the ball over so much, and I mean, that's what he turned the ball over a lot in college. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like we're getting to the point where, like, Cam Ward, he might just be the next Jameis Winston. And I'd be fine with it if he can pick up that personality.
Yeah, I would not complain. I missed having Jameis Winston in the league. He's so exciting.
He is in the league. He's on the Giants.
Oh, I forgot. I saw him in the analysis booth doing interviews like over the break, so I thought he was just committing to that. That's my bad, Jameis Winston. Didn't mean to slander.
All right, let's move to number two, which is currently the Cleveland Browns, but the way we're talking about this draft, it seems like the Cleveland Browns won't be staying in this spot. But I think we could also all agree that I think if the Browns do stay here, and really whoever ends up coming in this spot, it's going to be Travis Hunter off the board, and they're going to get the two-way weapon of the NFL.
And then, are we doing what our prediction is or what we would do?
I think prediction, yeah.
Okay, just because I think it's going to be Travis Hunter, but I don't know how this team doesn't draft Abdul Carter. It's just pairing Abdul Carter with Myles Garrett would probably be the best defensive end pairing we've seen this century. Like, they would be that freaking good. It's just, I feel like this is so hard for Cleveland to turn around, but I get how exciting of a prospect Travis Hunter is. But if I was Cleveland, I would take Abdul Carter here.
And going off of that, you basically have the 1-2 monster in the on the defensive side of the ball, and it's just it'll be an unstoppable force, and it would make it hard for running backs to get through that hole.
That's too good of a prospect to pass up, honestly, in my opinion.
You're talking about Abdul Carter, right? Or Travis Hunter. Okay.
I mean, we haven't seen a dude go both ways like that and since Deion.
Charles
I mean,
Woodson.
It's just like when you have a guy like that across the board in a team that's not that exciting in the city of Cleveland, you got to take him.
I think he's just as good of a prospect as Travis Hunter is, in my opinion.
I'm going to say it again. I think Travis Hunter, he's great in college, especially on both sides of the ball. I just feel like in the NFL, it's a level up. And if you play those 60 minutes, it's just going to take a toll on your body. And that's it'll be very interesting to see where his career goes if he decides to stay on both sides of the ball.
I mean, we could go to move on to three now. I think for the most part, we're in consensus that Travis Hunter is going to go number two. But I do agree with you, Joey. I think Abdul Carter is the best player on the board.
Same.
I know the Giants probably have, they probably could draft a quarterback, but, you know, they're not going to be that good this year.
No.
And they're going to take, the quarterbacks next year are much better than they are this year. And if the Giants, I feel like they're staying in this position, you have to take the best player in the draft. You have to take somebody that is going to be one of the best edge rushers in the NFL for the next 15 years, and that is exactly what Abdul Carter is. I don't watch a lot of Penn State games, but trust me, I had a lot of fun watching that Notre Dame Penn State. Actually, I didn't really have that much fun.
I had the worst time of my life. I did not have
And one. Abdul Carter is a game changer. Like, he is going to make any NFL team that he goes to much better, and assuming that Travis Hunter goes to two, if the Giants, I will go as far as say the Giants will be stupid if they do not draft Abdul Carter at three.
You can't rule out the Giants to do that, but how fun would that defensive line be? And you get Carter, you compare him with Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns. Like, the Giants, they would finally have, like, a legitimate strength. They would have one of the best defensive lines in the NFL.
I mean, yeah, you got to take Abdul in this situation. Obviously, the best on the board. The Giants need top guys now. I mean, it just has the makings all over it.
Yeah, I agree with all you guys. I think you got to go with someone who's tough on defense, and he's obviously the best defensive player in this draft, and he's going to be a stellar performance on this Giants team if he decides to go there.
Then we go to number four, which is another pick that seems up in the air about where they're actually going to select. But you have the New England Patriots, who brighter days are definitely coming for this team, but they need to help their quarterback in Drake May. They missed out on all the big time wide receivers this offseason. I know that they made a big push for DK Metcalf.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs.
They did get Steph Diggs, but like, come on.
Yeah.
We're not talking about the same Steph
Diggs.
So what are we thinking? Are they getting protection for Drake May, or are they going to try and get him a weapon in Tataro McMillan? Tataro, right? Is that how you say it?
Tataro.
We're just going to call him McMillan.
Ted
McMillan, thank you.
Yeah, I think McMillan at four would just be absolutely ridiculous. I think the tackles are far more talented. It's just which tackle, in my opinion. Like, I like Will Campbell because you can kind of play my tackle and guard, but if I were to make the pick here, I would probably go Kelvin Banks.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not expect that to come out of your mouth. I'm not going to lie.
Dude, I enjoy Kelvin Banks. I think Kelvin Banks is a really good tackle. I mean, there's a guy from Mizzou as well who I think is just as good.
Membo.
I'm not trying that, but, you know, I would probably go Kelvin Banks.
I think they're going to go Will Campbell. I mean, it seems like they've had a lot of meetings with him as of late, and Vrabel loves O-linemen, so I think he's going to take Will Campbell but move him inside to guard.
All right, cool. I think Will Campbell is the move here. It seems like
they've just been obsessed
with him. There's talks that they think he might fall a little bit, that's why they're so willing to trade back. I think Will Campbell is the pick here.
Yeah,
all right, now moving on to five, where we assume the Chicago Bears will be picking tonight. But right now it is the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they need to get a weapon, and I think this is the perfect area for Tet McMillan to be going to. You guys could disagree. I know there's a lot of other guys on the board, maybe Kelvin Banks, maybe some offensive line. They need a lot of help really all over the board, but I like Tet McMillan here for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I think you're missing the big need. This team's defensive line's terrible. Like, I would go Mason Graham here easily.
It wouldn't be the worst thing either.
I would agree with that. Mason Graham's, I don't know why his draft stock's just like plummeted a little bit, but he's so dominant on the inside, and at the same time, he's a great pass rushing guy, and it kind of reminds me how Chris Jones plays a little bit, so I think they're going to take Mason Graham.
Yeah, he's got that NFL size. He knows how to use his hands. He's a problem. Like, honestly, like, I think he's just under the category of Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter. You can even put him in that same category if you wanted to. Mason Graham is that good.
Yeah. I'm going to disagree, and I'm going to go with Ben's pick here. I like McMillan. Ooh. I think he's going to be a good pairing with Cooper out on the edge, and he'll be a threat.
You guys convinced me with Mason Graham, I'm not going to lie. Like, he is so good, and Ted McMillan wouldn't be a bad pick by any means as they go.
They just won first-round wide receiver last season.
Brian they Thomas did get BTJ. Just, I mean, yeah, know, they cut wow. everyone else on that. He has Trevor Lawrence is only throwing to Brian Thomas now. Everyone else is gone.
Take a second-round receiver.
Yeah.
McMillan's not good enough to go at five, in my opinion.
All right, six is the Las Vegas Raiders. If they're staying in this spot, they're going. If this top, it's not even like, I don't even know why we're doing this, because something's going to change.
Yeah.
But in all reality, if they stay in this spot, it's Ash and Jenty, right? They have a serious problem at running back.
Is like, that Pete Carroll smokescreen not moving you?
The Kelvin Banks one?
Yeah. Let's go, Jenty.
You're just trying to push every single narrative button that if this draft stays the same, that they're not going Jenty. But they're going Jenty.
They're going Jenty. If this pick stays here.
Yeah. We also didn't really speak on the fact that there is a possibility that the Jags do just stay at five and take Ash and Jenty as well.
You can't rule it out.
You can't rule anything out right now. But I think Jenty is the pick here for the Raiders. They legitimately, they have a bunch of us out there playing running back for them right now. Like, you thought Zamir White was good. He is awful.
Awful. So bad.
And then you had a Amir Abdullah career.
Journeyman.
Just came back out of nowhere, and he's the starting running back of the Las Vegas Raiders. Was not expecting that. All right, whatever. Ash and Jensen's the pick there. Seven, the Jets. It feels like the Jets are going to stay here.
Yeah.
Like, there's no movement from the Jets. Where are they going? They need a lot of help. It says that their number one need on this website is quarterback, which I think they're fine with Justin Fields for this year, and then test out maybe the market next year. A lot of places they could go. I know that we've been talking about the Bears going after this guy.
This is what I was going to say.
I kind of like Tyler Warren here for the Bears.
I think
that's
a good fit. It'd be a nice weapon to have. I mean, he brings that versatility, and he can still block, so it's like the best of both worlds. I would go Tyler Warren.
I think they're going to take him or Mambu probably from Missouri. Like one of either a tackle, or I think they're going to take Tyler Warren. Mm.
I like the Warren pick as well. I think Fields, especially when he was on the Bears, he loves his tight ends, and I think having another good tight end on that team would just make him shine once again.
Yeah, Tyler Warren is the pick there. Now we go to the Panthers, which is another team I feel like is going to stay in this spot. I know I said it about the Jags. I love Tet McMillan in this spot for a weapon, another weapon for Bryce Young.
I wouldn't hate outside linebacker edge here, but I would probably go McMillan. I think that's what Carolina will do. They really need to get a weapon for Bryce Young.
And so, I think they're building, like, they have solid foundation. Like, I love Xavier Legette and, like, what he can possibly be for this team. But, like, I feel like getting, like, you know, the way that they talk about McMillan, it's like this is one of the better draft wide receiver prospects in a couple years.
Blech.
I know. But it's just the way they do, and I think that you could get a number one out of the gate for Bryce Young, and this is the way that you go.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, just because I feel like the Raiders are going to Ty McMillan, I'm going to say Matthew Golden, just because I get to see another speed guy coming up.
That's ball knowledge from Julian right there. I think Golden's easily the best receiver in this draft.
Luther Burns also slept on.
Yeah, we do not.
Luther
Burden fell off.
Don't get me emotional.
We were talking about Luther Burden being like the number one pick in the draft going in.
I want him to be a Bear so bad last year. It's not his fault Mizzou's offense sucked.
All right, number nine, the Saints team. I feel like we really don't know
Dart.
Where. Yeah. Is it Dart?
No, that was sarcasm. I mean, I really hope it was sarcasm.
Could be Dart. They need a lot. They have a lot of issues.
And they have no cap space. They have nothing.
Yeah. Can we get a pulse check on New Orleans Saints fans? I mean, it has just been miserable since Drew Brees retired.
So bad.
And you have Derek Carr, who's not good, and still, he's average, and he's still down and out for the rest of the year. Yeah. Spencer Rattler season.
Okay, I'm going Walter Nolan, just kind of the hometown kid, gets to bolster up that defensive line as well. I think he's kind of get the best of both worlds.
I'd probably say, like, Kelvin Banks or something. I don't really know.
All right, let's just do the Bears pick at 10. If they stay here, they're not staying here. I don't know if you guys agree with me. I think Mike Green would be cool, but I feel like if this drakes up the way it's supposed to, I feel like Kelvin Banks is the pick here for the Bears.
I would as well. Both of that offensive line, you can only trust so much in Braxton Jones.
Yeah, it's probably going to be Kelvin Banks in this situation, honestly, if he's obviously not taken by the Saints.
I like the Green pick as well. I think just having another defensive guy would just make this team flourish offensively and defensively and boost this team morale.
This is going to be a crazy NFL draft. It starts in a minute. Go enjoy it. Go Bears. We'll see what happens. We'll maybe talk about it next week. And remember, next week, Senior Red Zone. Come join me, Joey, and Julian's last ever show. We appreciate it all. We'll see you next week on the Red Zone.